So moving on to yama number two, second yama is truthfulness, satya, refraining from lying and betraying promises. So as nonviolence is linked to santosha, contentment, so truthfulness is linked to arjava, honesty. If we're being dishonest in our actions, and usually we have to lie in our speech to cover it up, right? We are doing things we shouldn't, particularly on an ongoing basis, we have to lie about it. We can't tell people. We'll get in trouble. We might even end up in jail. So the two go together. So therefore, we need to have the honesty part under control. One of the problems about lying is you usually just can't tell one lie, right? You tell one lie, and then that requires another lie to cover up that lie, which requires a third lie, and then you have to tell the fourth lie, and then a fifth lie, and then you have to remember all the lies you told so you don't contradict yourself, which requires a sixth lie, and so forth. Boy, it gets complicated. So all of this is going in the subconscious mind, this whole lying pattern, and of course it's causing a negative condition in the subconscious mind, just like the layer of darkness, a layer of dirt you've just thrown all over the floor. So if you do that enough times, you really create a significant amount of dirt in the subconscious mind or create a messy floor, which covers up the soul nature. You can't get to the soul nature anymore because you've put all of this in your subconscious mind. So you have to take time to get it out. So Gurudeva describes three levels of lying, three levels of non-truthfulness. The first level is when someone is in a state of fear and does not tell the truth to protect himself. So that's quite common in homes. You know, a young child won't tell the truth. Something broke, fell off and broke, and you know, he didn't do it. Somebody else did it because he's afraid of getting punished. So the fear of getting punished can build lying, the practice of lying. So obviously we want to minimize that fear of punishment, because otherwise children are going to lie and they're going to get in the habit of lying. So we need a situation where children feel free to tell what happened without feeling threatened, that they're going to get hit. That's the worst kind of threat, because that creates a real sense of fear. The fear that you're going to get hit because you did this is a strong fear. So we need a non-threatening environment. It's not that children can't be disciplined for breaking something. It's that we don't want the discipline to make them afraid. We don't want the discipline to be physical, nor do we want it to be excessive. Somehow it has to be appropriate and given in a kindly way. So we need a non-threatening environment to encourage this first level of lying not to take place. Second level is deliberately lying about another, making up stories for the delight of getting that person in trouble. So this is like when one sibling enjoys getting the other sibling in trouble, making up stories. Probably don't know anyone like that, right? Happens. So again, a lot of it's related to this same problem of lack of contentment. If we're discontent, why not get our brother or sister in trouble? Then they'll be upset too. And then I won't be alone. So again, if we can keep ourselves or keep the children in a content, peaceful state of mind, there's less of a tendency to disturb and cause problems in this way. The third and worst level of non-truthfulness is calculated deception, breaking of promises. Of course, calculated deception is definitely tied to dishonesty. This is much different than just lying because you're afraid. Very, very different. You've done something dishonest. Say, for example, you're a salesman and you're selling something and you're misrepresenting it. So you're selling it for $1,000 when it's really only worth $500, and you know it. So consequently, to be dishonest, you have to lie. You couldn't sell it for $1,000 if you told them the truth. So in trying to sell it, you're being dishonest and going along with lying, which is called calculated deception. Breaking of promises is when we tell someone we'll do something and we don't really have the intention to do it. Subtle form of lying, but it causes the same problem. Say, for example, someone tells us a secret, and they tell us the secret based upon the fact that they asked before they told it, if I tell this to you, do you promise not to tell it to anyone else? You say, of course. But you don't intend not to tell it to anyone else. You don't particularly have a plan in mind to tell the whole world, but you definitely are not committed to not telling someone else. So they tell you, and then you end up telling others, and then end up telling a few more and telling a few more. So you didn't really have in mind living up to your promise in the first place. So that's a form of lying, sophisticated form of lying. So we want to avoid that as well. Thirukkural has a lot of good advice in this area. The first verse in the chapter on truthfulness reads as follows. What is truthfulness? It is speaking words which are totally free from harmful effects. So that's very interesting. It's tying harm, tying ahimsa in to truthfulness. It is speaking words which are totally free from harmful effects. So that means truthfulness isn't just going around telling the truth. You have to tell it in a way that doesn't hurt people unnecessarily. Just don't want to walk up to someone and say, you're very fat. You know, that's hurting them unnecessarily. There's no reason to say that truth in that way and hurt someone's feelings. So we need to temper the truth in a way that doesn't hurt people unnecessarily. Second verse also is of a similar nature, helps us understand truthfulness. Even falsehood is of the nature of truth if it renders good results free from fault. So how can falsehood be true? That's a contradiction, right? If you say something that's not true, how can it be true? Well, because sometimes the truth would hurt too much. So you don't want to hurt people with the truth. So, for example, Gurudeva gives the example of the astrologer. Astrologer is looking at someone's chart and sees a number of problems coming up in the next 12 years. Huge number of problems. Is the astrologer supposed to tell all the problems that will happen to the person in the next 12 years, one by one? No. It would discourage the person too much. They might just give up. They wouldn't have the strength to get through it all. They realize, well, I got through the first one, there's 11 more left, how am I ever going to manage? You know. So the astrological code, as explained by Gurudeva, is you don't tell every detail. You can say you're going to have a difficult period, but you don't necessarily explain the extent of the difficulty because you would discourage the person too much. You don't want to tell them it's going to be a great period. You don't want to say a falsehood in that sense, but you don't want to give every single negative detail. The other example Gurudeva gives is the physician. Physician diagnoses the patient, realizes everything that's wrong. Does he automatically tell the patient everything that's wrong? No. If he said everything that's wrong, the patient could get too discouraged and get depressed and a state of mind, he'd never get his health back. So you have to temper it. You don't want to discourage the patient beyond the point of what he can handle. So those are examples of when not telling the full truth is truthfulness, because you don't want to harm someone unnecessarily. This applies particularly to professional ethics we're talking about here. Don't want to harm someone. And with children, the same thing. You don't want to tell a child everything is doing wrong all at once necessarily. Be too overwhelming. You work on one thing at a time. Help the child improve. So we need to keep that in mind. There's another aspect of truthfulness, which is the cultural differences. Particularly if we haven't traveled a lot internationally or met people from different backgrounds, we can tend to think that people think just like us. And this applies to truthfulness as well. So how we look at truthfulness is how they look at truthfulness. But this isn't the case. Different cultures handle truthfulness in different ways, so we need to take that into account and not judge somebody as being untruthful just because the way they go about being truthful is different culturally from the way we do. For example, when you say yes, in different cultures it means different things. Yes, in one culture, can be a polite no. It's too rude to say no. Will you come back next week? Yes. Will you come back next week? No. You know, if you say no, it's kind of rude in some cultures, but it's truthful. If you say, will you come back next week? Yes. That's a polite no in some cultures. They know that means no. They don't expect that that means yes, but it'd be rude to say no. So if you're not ready for that, you can get confused. Say, well, those people, they never tell the truth. When they mean no, they say yes. So we have to get over the fact that we're expecting other cultures to be like our culture, that everyone was raised with the same concept of truthfulness we were raised with. It's not that way. You can learn something new about truthfulness all the time. Another example is business contracts in terms of truthfulness. In one culture, you sign a business contract, that's it. Everyone goes forward on the contract. In other cultures, every week you renegotiate the contract. No, the contract was just a starting point. It wasn't a final bargain. It wasn't an agreement. It was just where you were when you started, and every week one of the parties might try and renegotiate it, have it better for him than it when it started. So in one culture, that would be looked at as, this isn't right. In another culture, well, that's just the way business is done. Of course we're renegotiating it. We'll renegotiate it 4 or 5 times before we're done. That's how we do business. That's how we get a good deal. So the idea is, don't be too quick to judge others as being untruthful. It may just be that they were raised with different concepts of what truthfulness is. And again, Gurudeva closes the chapter with some advice from Adivasis. Interesting advice. He points out that only the guru has permission to correct the faults in his monks. The guru has been given permission to do that by each Madhavasi taking him as the guru. If Madhavasis discipline one another, psychoanalyze and correct in the name of truthfulness, this violates the first yama of non-injury. So it's interesting that Gurudeva sticks something just for monks at the end of each of these. So that was his message on truthfulness and non-injury for monks. Have a wonderful day. We can start with the Swamis coming forward.